Have you ever stepped onto an elevator and noticed something strange? The numbers rise, 10, 11, 12, and then suddenly, 14. No 13. No explanation. Just a gap as if we've all agreed to pretend the floor just doesn't exist. But what if I told you it does exist? And in some places, the 13th floor isn't empty. It's hiding something. Something cursed. Something lost. Something waiting. Welcome back to Unlocking the Paranormal. I am your host, Carrie. And in celebration of the 13th episode, tonight we're stepping into the void between floors to uncover the truth behind the 13th floor, discussing the brief history behind this feared number, one famous location and its connection to the number 13, and diving into one person's horror experience when the missing 13th floor was no longer missing. Our first stop, San Jose, California. Now, let's step foot inside what is considered a monstrous labyrinth, the Winchester Mystery House. Now, just going over a quick history, because truly the history of this home is worthy of its own episode. After the loss of their infant due to illness and the loss of her husband to TB, Sarah Winchester, the widow of William Winchester, an heir to a large portion of the Winchester repeating arms fortune, picked up and moved to San Jose, California. There she purchased an 8-bedroom farmhouse and began some of the most bizarre and twisted home renovations until her death on September 5th, 1922. She built the house nonstop for decades, creating staircases to nowhere and doors that opened into walls. The farmhouse that once only had 8 rooms had 160 by the time of her death. This home is truly remarkable, and honestly, it's on my bucket list of places to go travel to. Aside from its remarkable beauty, it's also incredibly haunted. Sarah believed that she was cursed by the spirits that were killed by her husband's invention, the Winchester rifle. Now, her superstitious beliefs were evident, with the number 13 showing up throughout the home. The home doesn't have a 13th floor in the traditional sense, but the number 13 is built into several design elements. 13 bathrooms, 13 panes of glass in some windows, 13 stairs in the staircases, 13 ceiling panels in the entrance hall, 13 hooks in closets, and one truly special stained glass window. Now, this stained glass window features a center panel. The main arched window is filled with vibrant stained glass and hues of blue, green, yellow, and amber. It resembles a celestial or cosmic map with interconnected lines and colored circles that seem to represent stars, planets, or nodes. Now, the design itself looks like a geometric web. The entire design is overlaid with geometric lines, forming a web-like pattern. evoking the feeling of constellations, sacred geometry, or a very colorful spider web. On the other side of the central panel are narrower windows with a similar spider web and orb motifs, reinforcing a symbolic or mystical theme. Honestly, it truly is a really, really beautiful stained glass window, and I absolutely love that it has this eerie but cool cobweb design in it. It's very, very unique. Now, here are a few theories. Is it a spiritual network or map? Some believe this window could represent a map of the afterlife, the spiritual realm, or even ley lines, mystic energy paths across the earth. Now, another theory is just a spider web motif. A web-like design, it may relate to protection, traps, or portals. A theme found throughout the house with staircases that lead to nowhere, doors that open up to walls, possibly to confuse or to contain spirits. Because remember, she believed she was cursed by the spirits who had fell victim to the Winchester rifles. Now, the color and the light. In spiritual traditions, colored glass is used to filter spiritual energy. Sarah Winchester may have designed this to manipulate light and the energy flow within the house for ritual or protective purposes. While this particular stained glass window doesn't scream 13 at first glance, there are definitely symbolic threads and architectural quirks that tie it to Sarah Winchester's fascination with the number. For instance, the number of orbs or circles. If you counted the color orbs or nodes in the central stained glass panel, there are 13 distinct circles. This could be a subtle nod to her reoccurring theme of 13 as a spiritual number, often associated with transformation, death, and the beyond. The window potentially functioned as a ritual or spiritual tool. May have included 13 elements as a magical signature or spell, encoded in light and geometry. Now, I'm sure you're all wondering, isn't this supposed to be an episode about how the 13 number is bad? Well, I just told you a story where 13 showed up in a symbolic way to ward off evil. But what about stories that explain why 13 is an unlucky number? Well, one of the most persistent and quite eerie architectural decisions in the modern world is the tendency to skip the 13th floor in buildings. You've probably seen it yourself, going into an elevator, and the bottom jumps straight up from 12 to 14. That's no accident. It's a direct response to a widespread and deeply ingrained fear, the fear of the number 13. This superstition is so widespread that between 80 to 90% of high-rise buildings skip the number 13. Hotels, office buildings, and even some hospitals leave it out completely. In most cases, the 13th floor is still physically there. It still exists. It's just relabeled as the 14th floor. Or it could be labeled as 12A and 12B. Something else entirely to keep tenants and visitors at ease. But where does this come from? This fear of 13? It actually stretches deep into ancient numerology and cultural superstition. In numerology, 12 is often considered the number of completeness. 12 months in a year, 12 zodiac signs, 12 apostles, 12 gods of Olympus, 12 hours on a clock. So when you move to 13, you're stepping beyond this completeness into the unknown, into chaos and spiritual instability. That off-balance energy gives 13 its reputation as an unlucky number. In Western cultures, the superstition is tied to biblical lore. At the Last Supper, 13 people were present, and Judas, the betrayer, was said to be the 13th to sit down at the table. Now, of course, there's the Norse, I think I'm saying that correctly, mythology that has a similar tale. The trickster god Loki was the uninvited 13th guest at a banquet, leading to the death of the beloved god Baldur. Again, I hope I'm saying that correctly. These stories cemented the idea of 13 as a harbinger of betrayal, bad luck, or death. But this fear isn't universal. In Italy, for example, 13 is often considered lucky. Meanwhile, in many East Asian cultures, the number 4 is what is feared, because the word 4 sounds very similar to the word death in Mandarin, Cantonese, and Japanese. This leads to buildings in places like China and Japan skipping the 4th floor, much like we do the 13th in the West. Still, in the US and much of Europe, the stigma remains. Developers often skip the 13th floor, not just for tradition, but because superstition affects real estate value. Apartments or offices on the 13th floor can be harder to sell or rent. And in the hotel industry, guests sometimes refuse to sleep there, even if they're not outwardly superstitious. The power of belief, especially collective belief, shapes our environments in a subtle but real way. So while you may never see a 13th floor in your day-to-day life, chances are you've passed through one. You just don't know it. Or maybe someone didn't want you to know. In a world where superstition, spiritual energy, and architectural design intersect, perhaps that floor wasn't skipped for practical reasons, but to keep something locked away, hidden between the floors. Which leads me to a story I discovered on Reddit where someone shared their horror story with their encounter with the 13th floor. Now, with this being on Reddit, I will obviously let you all be the judge on if you believe this person's story or not. It was shared by the username Grace, and she writes the following. You know how some buildings have a missing 13th floor? I found one of them. Hey, Redditors, I've got a pretty wild story to share with you. Not looking for advice, this is more of a warning. I recently started an intern position at a big company. The office building it was located in was pretty old and kind of run down. On my first day, a coworker who had been assigned to show me the ropes pointed out that there was no 13th floor listed on the elevator panel. It goes straight from 12 to 14. I laughed about it. Superstition, am I right? And then didn't think about it again for months. A week ago, I volunteered to stay late and finish up some work in the hope that my intern job might turn into something more permanent. By the time I finished, it was 8 o'clock at night, and as far as I knew, I was the only person in the entire building. I was pretty tired, so when I got to the elevator, I slouched against the wall and watched a little blinky light thing count down the floors. 19, 17, 16, 15, 14. And then the elevator stopped. We've all seen movies or TV shows where an elevator gets stuck between the floors, and someone opens the door to a view of a brick wall. I figured that's what had happened here. The elevator stopped between floors 14 and 12. So, I was surprised when I pressed the door open button and saw a dark corridor instead of a wall. The button panel was no longer working, so I decided to leave the elevator to take the stairs down, rather than press all the call buttons and wait for someone to come rescue me. The light switch near the elevator didn't work, which made sense. Clearly there had been some sort of power failure and the elevator had stopped at the floor 14 or 12. I used my phone as a flashlight instead. I had never been to any floor than the one I worked on, and I was immediately taken aback by how neglected the place looked. There was a thick layer of dust underfoot, and when I got into an office area, all of the desks were bare. Some were sagging or falling apart. The entire floor looked as if it had been abandoned for years. Which was strange because I had been told that the whole building was occupied. I went to the nearest window, intending to see how far the power failure had spread, and got a fright when I saw that it was completely pitch black outside. The light from my phone just barely illuminated the face of the nearest building across the narrow alleyway. And looking further down the street, there wasn't a hint of light. No street lights, no illuminated windows, nothing. For a moment, I thought there had been a major power failure, like the one that had hit New York in the previous decade. And then I realized I couldn't even see car headlights. I couldn't hear any cars either, or any sound at all. It was as quiet as the grave. At 8:30 in the large city, how did that make any sense? I was getting slightly alarmed now, so I immediately ran to the staircase leading down to the ground floor, only to find it locked shut with a rusty chain. That made no sense at all. That staircase was a fire exit. Why would someone chain it shut? Why did it look as if it had been in this state for years? I decided to hunt around for a key. As I searched the smaller offices, I came across a number of very weird things. One of them was filled with what looked like ancient, desiccated mold. In another, I found a suit made of a strange, heavy material, folded on a chair in such a way that it looked like a person sitting there. Nearly gave me a heart attack. Some of the desk drawers had papers filled with gibberish in them. A filing cabinet was filled with dusty light bulbs. After about 20 minutes of this, I found a rusty key hanging up in a supply closet and unlocked the chain, preventing my escape, feeling relieved. This place was starting to spook me, and I was looking forward to coming back in the daylight to find out what the hell the deal was. But the door didn't open onto a staircase. I got a glimpse of a long, bare corridor before my phone's light caught something moving. Something that had round, very pale eyes. Something very much not human. I ran for it, back to the elevator. The thing chased me. Its footsteps were shuffling, awkward but fast. And I could hear its wheezing breath at my back. When I got to the hallway leading to the elevator, the doors started to close. I'd like to tell you I escaped by doing some cool action movie stunts, maybe rolling in between the doors just as they shut, but I honestly don't remember how I got away. All I recall is running faster than I thought possible, propelled by the most intense terror I've ever experienced. It wasn't the creature chasing me I was necessarily afraid of. It was a fear of being stuck in that place. In those few seconds before I reached my safety, my conscious mind accepted the idea that had been growing ever since my arrival on floor 13. I had stumbled into a place I should have never been in. And if I didn't escape it now, then I never would. The last thing I saw before the elevator's door closed were the creature's round eyes, bobbing in the light. A few seconds later, I emerged into a bright lobby, the sounds of traffic and pedestrians coming in from outside, and I collapsed to my knees. I have since quit that job, and I no longer ride in elevators that have a missing floor. And I'm not sure either of those precautions guaranteed safety. I keep remembering the dark, silent city I saw outside the office window. Whatever that place is, I think it's big. And there are probably a lot of ways to enter it. I wonder how many missing person cases are the result of an experience like mine that didn't turn out so well. Now, that story isn't just about a missing floor. It's about the spaces we pretend don't exist. The narrator's descent into a forgotten level of reality, hidden between 12 and 14, touches something primal in all of us. The fear that reality isn't as stable as we think. The quiet, empty city outside the window suggests more than just isolation. It implies displacement, as if the narrator had slipped into not just a hidden floor, but a pocket of reality, a cold and abandoned echo of our own world. Now, the creature with the round, pale eyes, that is like icing on the paranormal cake. It's like not just a monster, it's maybe like a guardian of the space. Or worse, some kind of weird former visitor who never really made it out. Did they transform into that weird beastly creature? And then every unnatural detail, the dusty offices, the desks that were broken apart, it almost gives a glimpse of a time slip. Was this person, did they just happen to slip into a very distant future? And that's why all the desks were broken down? And then there's also the locked fire exit. And then the paperwork that had all the gibberish. It really just kind of adds to the idea that the space wasn't supposed to be accessed at all. Now, the real horror in this story isn't necessarily the creature. It's the idea that the elevator might open its doors again. And next time, it might not let that person go. Now, this brings me to the part of the episode where I ask for your guys' opinions. Now, have you or someone you know ever experienced anything involving a wrong or mysterious floor, elevator glitch, or this liminal space that you ended up in that you probably should not have ended up in? Two, what do you think the creature with the pale round eyes really was? Was it a spirit, a shadow thing? Was it something interdimensional? Did this person just jump onto a different plane that's very similar to our earthly world, but also has weird creatures? Now, do you think the dead city outside the window was a glimpse into an alternative version of our world? Or do you believe that they time jumped? And what do you believe is scarier, the idea of a monster or the thought of being trapped in a place that reality just sort of forgot, unable to find your way back out? And last question for you all. Should people be more cautious about elevators and floor anomalies? Or is it all just a creepy coincidence? Don't forget to share your comments, your opinions, and your questions about today's story on our Facebook and Instagram pages. And I do thank you for embarking on this chilling journey to unlocking the paranormal mysteries of the world. Beyond this episode lies a realm of enigmas waiting to be unveiled. For a full list of the episode source material, head over to the Unlocking the Paranormal podcast Facebook page. And for additional creepy content, be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Unlocking the Paranormal. And be sure you never miss a moment of the unearthly tales that await by following our show wherever you get your podcasts. Now, this podcast is independently produced, and sharing it with your friends, family, and your favorite coworker truly does help me immensely. Don't forget to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to join in and become a part of the podcast and be a paranormal pen pal to have your personal experience shared on the podcast, email it to unlockingtheparanormalpod@gmail.com. And stay tuned for our next episode, where we will venture further into the labyrinth of the supernatural. Until next time, stay curious, embark on the journey, and may you find the key to unlocking the paranormal.